I want to take you back to the point where you just graduated from NIFT in knitwear design, NIFT Delhi, and then you are looking for, you know, going for NID, apparel design. So tell me something about that. Tell me how, you know, you took that decision. All right. Hello, Huma. How are you?
Hi, Sanjay. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for joining me on the show today.
Thank you for inviting me. I should say that. No, it's a pleasure. Honestly, it is.
It's a really good opportunity, I would say, to have a conversation with you today because I've been looking for a person who has done apparel design from NID. To, you know, to tell us a lot about apparel because there are a lot of questions that I really want to ask about apparel design, and we will get into that as we go. But once again, welcome to Detox, the design podcast, and I am really stoked for this conversation.
Yeah, me too. Let's see.
All right. So how is life in pandemic, Huma? How is it going?
It's strange, I would say. Like, it's very organic in a lot of ways. Like, things are just happening naturally. We do not have control over it. Like, it's very, very, like, unprecedented sort of, like, things are happening which we never expected. So, same, like, with personal life, professional life, everything is like that. It's very uncertain right now.
Yeah, true. And all your plans are basically have gone out of the window, right?
Yeah, of course. Yes, like we always plan taking into consideration, this should happen like this, like, you know, the perfect parameters, I would say. But then, yeah, it's not happening like that, obviously.
Right. So, how are you dealing with it? I mean, it's been a while. I know it's been more than a year and we're at home. And it is different for different people. I am a designer, I'm an illustrator, I draw things. I had this habit of drawing outside the house. I used to take my sketchbook. Ideation ke liye main bahar chala jata hun. Theek hai? But I am staying indoors now. So it was difficult to adapt, but how has your experience been?
I think it's pretty much the same. Like how you mentioned drawing, I think that is one thing for me as well. Initially, when the first lockdown happened last year, March, so things were exciting in a way when people started doing their own, you know, daily household stuff. You know, the maids were not there, so we started exploring new things, like even cooking became fun. But then, you know, that was for a while, like for a month or two. But after that, people really got used to it. Ki abhi you can't do it daily. Something like that happened. Sketching was one thing which was on and off with me there consistently. I actually picked it up after a very long time, I would say. I always used to like doing it, but then while I was at NID, somehow I actually went off the route, like with the academics and everything. So I was not practicing it much. But then, yeah, lockdown gave me that time to come back to it and reflect on it in a lot of ways. But then, yeah, I couldn't stick to something for a long time. So, you know, you do it for a while, then you leave it for a while, then you come back and pick it up again. So it's been like that, more or less, yeah.
And how has it affected your creativity?
I would say I've explored few new things, definitely. And in a lot of ways, like I've initially started reading things or following artists, you know, like randomly. I wouldn't be able to pick up one artist and see, but then, you know, I like someone's work, I started following them, I started seeing their artwork. So it's actually inspiring when you see people are doing so much and there's so much happening. You see this person is doing you know, like brilliant work, then there's another person who's doing, you know, even better. There's no limit to creativity and you just keep stumbling upon, you know, like great minds on a daily basis if you just keep navigating through art pages. I think, yeah, it like subconsciously does affect you when you keep, you know, like following people who are doing like good work.
That's a good way to deal with it, actually. Yeah, makes sense. I mean, daily dose of creativity is
mindlessly scroll. I'm one of those who has a lot of screen time, but yeah, I scroll mindlessly, and even though it's mindless, I think it does affect. Like subconsciously, you are affected. Yeah.
That's great. Cool. So now I want to take you back to, let's say, a few years. And, you know, I want to take you back to the point where you just graduated from NIFT in knitwear design.
Okay.
NIFT Delhi. And then you are looking for, you know, going for NID, apparel design. So tell me something about that. Tell me how that decision, you know, you took that decision, okay, after bachelor's, I want to go for master's, and that too in apparel. How did you decide that?
Okay. So, to begin with, I think I always had this in the back of my mind that I wanted to go for higher studies since a very young age, I would say. So, as soon as I graduated from NIFT, the first thing was, you know, you get a job, you explore industry. So, I started working. I was placed in an export house in Chennai. That was my first job. So, it was an export house. So, how it functioned was that it had a lot of things happening in-house. So, the production was in-house, the designing was in-house, the sampling was in-house. So, when you see everything happening under one roof, you actually come to that realization that you know very little of what happens. Yeah? Like college does not teach you everything. So every day I worked, I used to get that feeling, you know, I'm actually learning and there's so much to learn and there's so much that I don't know in a lot of levels, like many levels. College has a very different thing that they give you or they teach you in terms of skill or knowledge and learning, and when you enter the industry, I think it's an entirely different thing. You can relate, but then the application is different. So I had that feeling. So that made the idea stronger ki I need to go and learn more about it if I can. So master's was the way where I felt, you know, when I get into master's, I'll have better understanding and I'll get into the college with a clear mindset ki why am I getting into it. So I would know what I want to know. So that was how I decided that I wanted to get into NID, like, because I had graduated from NIFT, so NID was the other option. So there, pretty much, I did not have much choices there, and I was very much happy, you know, and excited about it. You know, that is the next college I want to be in.
Makes sense, and a very good point that you've just mentioned, that you decided what you wanted, and then you went ahead for master's. Right, I think that level of clarity is something that is needed. You were able to have, I think, because you also had this advantage of having a bachelor's in design experience.
I think yes.
Continue. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. So, pretty much that I was saying that it's, I think, very important for somebody who is going for master's to have that clarity, because then you pick up a domain specialization and then you pretty much continue in that for the rest of your life, right?
Correct. I think that's how master's is different from bachelor's. I think one major thing is ki bachelor's, a lot of times we do it like we're not doing it willingly, you know, you're forced into it, or you do it because you have to get a bachelor's, you know, because you're not going anywhere without a graduation. So that's the minimum you need to, you know, do. But then master's is a choice. Even if you don't do it, nobody's going to question you. Even if you do it, you know, you are going to put your time and effort and money and energy and everything. So it's a very conscious decision. It's a choice, you know. So I think when someone is getting into master's, they know what they want.
True. Yeah. So what exactly was it that you wanted from masters?
First thing was, I really wanted to learn more because I was from knitwear, as you already mentioned. Now, while I was working in that export house, they were predominantly in woven. So they used to do a lot of woven garments. So, you know, every other day when I used to deal with the textile person in my office, he used to tell me, you know, do you know what kind of check is this? Do you know what kind of, what is the count of this fabric? But there were a lot of things which I actually felt, you know, I don't even know this term when you're telling me, or I know it, you know, very like barely in my mind. So the first thing was key, I wanted to learn. The second thing was key, I always thought key, it is going to be better to have, you know, like higher education in something you are going to learn, and it's never going to go for a waste. So I think these two things put together were the I think it was a very easy decision for me. There was no second thought over there. So I was very clear that I wanted to get into it.
Great. So once you had decided that this is what I want, now how did the preparation for the NID exam go? How did you go about it? Because I'm assuming you would have appeared for NID in bachelor's also when you were going for bachelor's.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So NID master's ka exam, how was it? How did you prepare for it?
Yeah, so just I would mention two things over here. One, going back to the question that you were answering, ki, it was an easy decision, but then there was one point that I missed. Ki, there was a lot of risk. Risk in terms of ki, I was already having a stable job. So, there were a lot of people who told me ki, when you're going to invest another 3 years in a college, you're going to come back to the same industry, maybe at the same position, or coming back as a fresher. That was going to be like a small setback. So there were a lot of people who advised me, you know, actually that's not a fair, you know, decision to invest your time somewhere where you're actually getting paid, where you have a decent job. So leave all this and go back to college. So I had my hiccups there, to be honest. That was one thing, but then, I have no regrets right now. I think it was the best decision I made. So, and the second thing that you asked right now, okay, how is the preparation, correct? So I think first year of my job, somehow I didn't realize it passed so soon. Okay, I had no time to actually dedicate to the preparation, although I knew okay, I wanted to get into NID. So by the time first year was over, I thought, okay, oh no, you know, now I have very less time and I have to do it in this year. And that was my first attempt and probably the last one also, according to my parents. You know, if you want to get into NID, this is the time you should. Because we can't let you study for another 4 years like that. So the preparation, how it started was, NID is a very, it does not have a very structured kind of syllabus that they ask in entrances. So there cannot be a fixed, you know, this thing, ki, syllabus, ki, this is the thing that you need to study, and these are the areas or the topics that you need to cover. So that was never there. Also, there was nothing, or I did not know a lot of people who could guide me into what NID ask or how it should be. So I started, reading about it on the internet, the websites, and I found a blog. It was called Take a Blog or something, which had a lot of NID's question papers. So that was the only source I had at that time. And then I was in Chennai. I don't remember if I mentioned that. So Chennai also did not have any dedicated coaching centers or anything that I would go to. So I felt a little stuck. But then I had the only thing which was that teacup blog. So when I started going to the blog, I could refer to all the questions that were available over there in the which were asked in the past years. So through that question, I started picking out the topics that were asked frequently. I think that is the way actually where you can make a syllabus of your own, what are the areas or what are the topics you need to cover. That's what I did. Once I had a fair understanding of what all things I need to do, even in terms of, you know, like sketching, So there were questions. So you knew, okay, what are the sort of questions they're asking in drawing or sketching part. So I started making my own set of areas that I needed to cover. Once I had that, I think it wasn't very difficult after that. The only thing was that you had to be consistent on a daily basis. You had to do it no matter what. Like, you have to dedicate time to it. So consistency was the key. No matter what, even though I was working, you know, like, kill yourself a job, but come back and give those 2 hours that you have to do it. So I think that was the key. Do it, die or do it or die. I don't know what is it, but yeah, do or die. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So, I mean, intense working hours, and then you have 2 hours every day for an ID preparation.
Yes, and you don't give yourself the weekends also. I think somehow you start dedicating the weekends. So it was something like that. And also I found some interesting ways to get myself involved, you know, during my work hours also. Okay. There were a few things about logos and, you know, a few general things which they used to ask in an ID. So I started looking for apps. So there was this app which was, you know, fun with logos, Indian logos or something. So when it was created, so I started downloading that kind of apps. And you know, even while I was at work or lunch break, I used to scroll through it. And actually, you wouldn't believe I got one question in exam through that. It was IIT Hyderabad was launched that year. So that year NID had that IIT Hyderabad's logo in our question paper, and we had to recognize which government institution's logo it is, and it goes through that. So yeah, luckily it worked for me that way also.
That's cool. So I want to stress a little about the preparation here, because you were somebody who had a job. Okay. Mm-hmm. There is this big question, how to manage your preparation along with the job. Now, you said that you know, made it a point to come back and like give your 2 hours and also the weekends to the preparation. Yes. But how did you organize it? You went through the previous year question papers, then you understood what kind of questions were there, what kind of topics they are asking, you know. So what was the next step? How did you go about it?
I'll actually tell you the step prior to this. It was a panic step. The moment you realize you want something, and when you realize you want something badly, that is when you start panicking. Because more than the feeling of you want it, the feeling of what if you don't get it scares you. So that is what was happening with me. So I was in that stage. I had a couple of my friends who graduated from LIFT and who were preparing for NID in Delhi. They were full-time enrolled in some coaching program in Delhi. So I used to call them up, I remember, and ask them, okay, what is going on in your class? What is happening? And then they used to tell me pretty much the same thing. They were actually trained in a way like non-designers are trained. So, you know, started from scratch, sketching and everything. So, although it was a relief for me to know, you know, they are doing the same thing which I was doing, but I used to feel cornered. So, how I was doing it was key. It wasn't easy, to be honest, to, you know, actually be that much dedicated. I'm not someone who's very, you know, self-driven always. I have my phases, I would say. If I could just share a small story over here, what I remember, yeah. So this panic stage that I'm telling, actually, it was frustrating as well when I was not able to do it. I used to try to give time, but then I was in Chennai, so somehow I was not very happy or used to with the food I was getting there. So I used to miss the food, you know, not the Indian food. I started cooking also. That was the first time I was cooking. So now imagine I get up in the morning and actually used to make whatever little of breakfast I could make for myself. And then office, and then you come back and then you make dinner. So my day was gone. It was night. So when I had actually 2-3 months left to my exam, I called my brother and I told him, "Bhai, I don't think I'm going to do it. This is what is happening. I waste my time." And what he told me was, "You know, Mom, why are you wasting your time? Because you have to, you know, just make food for yourself. Are you going to tell yourself this, I couldn't get into NID because I was cooking my food and was not happy with the food I was getting? So even if you're going to eat Maggi for another 2 months, you won't die. But if you're going to waste your time on that and, you know, you don't get into this, that's going to be the biggest regret." And I actually stopped cooking from that day. I survived on, you know, whatever I could order on Maggi for another 2-3 months that I remember. So, why I'm sharing this is that there are small things which we overlook, which is taking our time, but which we could easily cut off. It's just that we don't realize it, and this is one of that thing which is making a mistake. So, one was making time, second was time boxing. No matter what happens, that is the time you have to give it to yourself. Now, you get bored, okay, after you have worked full day, so you don't want to come back and do the same thing again. So how I was distributing it was I used to do different things on daily basis. Like on the weekdays, I used to keep things which I was learning new, which were interesting me. Like I was sketching, so I wouldn't come and sketch the daily objects in my room, but then I would go and check for some YouTube videos or tutorials which I didn't know. Let's say in perspective I wanted to learn something, so I would go and watch that tutorial and do that. So while I was following something, that could easily have all my attention. So that was an easy way to how I used to focus on what I wanted to do that day. So time boxing was one thing. Second was diversifying the content which you have to study over your week, like dividing it in a very strategic manner, you don't get bored of the stuff. And weekends, every weekend you should actually go back and solve the question papers of NID, because no matter how much you know, how much you learn, I think the key was time and efficiency. Your knowledge is going to be a waste unless you are able to do it in the specific time. NID actually demands your time and efficiency a lot. So if the exam was 2.5 hours, I always try to complete the paper in 2 hours, because obviously in the examination you're less efficient. So every week I used to try that, just time out how much time you're taking to solve that paper. So that was another thing. And no matter what, sketch on daily basis. So that was one thing which I was practicing. So even in office hours, I think, just keep doodling whatever thing is in front of you. That was one thing.
So anything in particular that you sketched, or just anything and everything?
Initially when I started, it was objects lying around. Because what I was trying to do was trying to create a memory of all the objects. Because I knew NID used to ask for compositions. It could be any composition. So when you're making a composition, you need to put together different elements. To put together elements, you need to draw from your memory. So to develop that memory, I think I used to sketch anything and everything around me which was lying. It could be a plant, it could be a phone, it could be a charger, it could be just the socket, plugs, or it could be just the room, window, curtain, you don't know, or from your balcony, the road you are looking at. So any scene that you can, whatever is there in front of you, any scene that you can see there. So I think that was the initial idea I began with. Then I started into perspective drawing and different views of an object like that, in terms of more technicalities involved in something. And also if you're trying to ask if I was doing anything apparel based, no, I think that was not very necessary. I think that I was already doing at office, so I did not do alag si or separately. I did not invest any time into it. But to be honest, there was this question in an AD which actually asked for to sketch. There was some garment and the front view, the side view and the back view of the same thing. So question was like that was there. I had an advantage over there because I had my background in the same thing. I was already working in the same thing. So I did not dedicate my time separately to it. But I think beginners or someone who's getting into it fresh will have to do that.
Right. Understood. So after you, so you pretty much covered everything during your weekdays and then weekends, pay time management, the everything got covered here. So this you did for how many months?
I told you I began very late. I think 6 months easily.
Okay.
I'm not sure when did an idea that happened. It was December, if I'm not wrong. The first round of Canadian happens.
December, January, something like
January
that.
January 2nd week, most probably. Yes.
January.
The third week, be. Yeah.
Chennai had flood at that time. So something was happening. That was another thing, you know, how will you reach to the exam center? It was in the other end of Chennai. So I think, it was towards the end of the year and it started. I told you, I joined my work and by the time I realized 1 year was gone, so definitely by the mid of that year. So good 6 months, I would say. But initially, I wasn't very dedicated towards it, like it wasn't going full-fledged. But once you get into it, the intensity increases. So by the end of it, I think I was devoting more time towards it.
All right. So when you finish, when you clear the first round, you go for the second round. How was the studio test for apparel design?
It wasn't very difficult, I would say. Now, for this also, I will again go back to my Nifty and say I had a small and fair understanding of what happens in the studio test because Nift conducts situation test, which is pretty much similar in terms of what they're seeking. So I had a fair understanding. It's just you don't know what is going to happen. You know, like what are they going to ask? In that way. So, one thing I knew from my NIFT situation test itself was ki whenever you're in a studio test, never look at what your person is doing next to you or around you. That panics you and that actually subconsciously affects your idea of what you're doing. So, you start thinking on that line subconsciously and your own idea gets affected. So you know no more your organic or new or fresh is affected by somebody else's idea. So also it feels key, you know, the other person has already started and not doing anything. So it happens like that. So in studio test, I just told you one question was there ki there was some there was some photo given actually. It was a photo of a woman walking on the ramp with the garment or a dress that she was wearing. And the question was, the photo was taken back after like few minutes. And then from your memory, whatever you remember, you had to sketch different views like the front, the back, and the side view of the garment. So, and I don't know if it was already mentioned that the photo would be taken back. I'm not sure about that, but then it was like they gave it to you and they just took it back. So that was one. So although it was again a test of memory drawing, how much you could recall on the spot. So that was one question. It wasn't very difficult, I would say. But it was again the same thing that an idea demands. An idea is very clear about, you know, your observation skills. How much you can observe, how minutely you observe. So it was that, definitely. And how much of details you could capture, like within a minute, you know. What all you observed in that short span of time. The second question was, you were given a few things, few raw materials, few stuff. And you had to create a product out of it. So the things that were provided were very, you couldn't like put it together and create a wearable stuff. There was a aluminium board sort of thing, a small aluminium or some metal sheet Then there were two or three rubber bands. Then there were there was a corrugated sheet. Then there was that the foam paper, something like that. The packaging paper that we have, the bubbles one, bubble wrap. Correct. Yeah. So that was there, and then you were supposed to create a wearable product out of it. Again, here also the idea is key. Whatever things they are providing you in a situation test, everything, even if you think it's bizarre or it's like useless, if they're providing you, you need to use it, because that is what they want to see, how creatively you can put things together. So make use of it. That was one thing. Second was, don't waste your time on thinking I should create the best thing. It should be like, out of the world. No. First of all, you should be able to complete the task what is given. So I knew initially when I was like, what should I make out of it? But if you can't get like too many ideas, whatever is your first, second idea, you think what is best, just begin with it and you can improvise on the way. So that is what I did. I made something out of it. I remember it was a belt or something. And also they take back the things which are left, like your leftover stuff. So from that, what I understand is how optimal you are in the usage of the things, how smartly you can use things, or how much of wastage you create, or what do you do with the stuff. So that was also thing. So I, keeping these things in mind, I think that is how I came up with the product, and I was optimal with it. I was able to finish it. So
very interesting. Very interesting. I didn't know that they also take back the things that they give you.
You need to leave it there on the table, and I actually knew this somehow, okay? I don't know how I knew this. I think I knew this from the NIFT itself somehow. The idea is they do see the final product, but it is about how wise you are in, usage of something. I think that is the need of the industry and our, in the world itself. Zero wastage things are coming up and a lot of things like that.
Interesting. So what happened in the interview round then?
I don't know where to begin. So there's a panel that sits in the NIA interview. It was actually my first formal interview with a panel. NIF did not have a interview sort of thing. NID had. So you had a portfolio. Now my portfolio also, I would say it had a very it had a very sudden happening. I did not had a portfolio ready, so I had to take leave from my office. Then somehow I couldn't tell my office, I'm going for a master's, because what if I don't get into it or something. So
you can say that in the office.
Yeah, there are times when people are very supporting environment over there, where they're like, okay, if you want to go for higher studies, just go for it. It wasn't the same with me. So I don't know, it might have been the same. I never tried telling them. And I never tried telling anyone for the fact that people come and ask you, how is it going? Were you able to do it? So I was always like, what if I'm not able to do it? So I don't want people to come back and tell me, how is it and all that. So I took 10 days leave from my office. I think it was sick leave, I don't remember. So I worked on my portfolio, and I had my graduation project work that I had from NIF, but I knew that was not enough, because NID did not look at things very directly, this is what you had and you came up with it. So I prepared few extra stuff that was needed over there, and that is how I compiled my portfolio. So when I reached there, I actually saw people coming with big boxes or suitcases or trolleys. So what people did would, actually why I'm telling this is very intimidating.
I was one of them. No, it's okay. It's totally cool. Yeah, everybody.
It is okay because, yeah, everybody has different way of showing stuff, yeah? So definitely it is okay. I was the one who was actually coming, I did not have my physical samples, obviously. I was coming from Chennai, my things were back at home. So so what I did was, I just had a printed copy of my portfolio and I was happily there, you know, I worked on it 10 days and I was like, you know, it's actually cool. But I, when I was there, you know, outside waiting for my line, I just saw people walking in and walking out with big trolleys and suitcases. I was like, people have so much carrying with them, I don't have a chance. So it was like that. So actually, the reason I'm mentioning it is, if you are there, if someone is listening to this audio and if someone is there for the interview, do not look at others what they are carrying. Be confident, be sure of what you have and why you have it. Because the people sitting in the panel are actually extremely talented, or, you know, like, knowledgeable people. They understand. So in interview, the panel was, one was the head of design of apparel, which is Amit Sinha. The second person was my dean of NID Gandhinagar campus, Krishna. Then there was one person who's a psychiatrist who sits in an ID. Yeah, so he was there. There was one external person over there. So there were four people. So they asked me a lot of questions about, you know, they grilled me a lot, rather, I would say, on why do you want to get into NID, because you already have a design degree from LIFT. So when you already have done the same thing, why do you want to get into NID? I think this question went on rounds with different people. So yeah, I think my idea was clear. There was nothing more to it. I wanted to learn. So they also told me, what if you don't get into NID this year? I said, I'll come back again next year here. So they were like, okay. So that was one thing. And what happens in interview is ki, they want to see the intent. Why do you want to get into this college? So be honest. Be very honest. So you might be extremely talented, but if they're not able to see that intent, ki, why are you doing this, they will not take you. It's very simple. So they can see it through. You can't fool them at any cost by making up stories or by saying something. They can see it through somehow. So that's what I understood. So when they are choosing someone, or the people or the students who are getting selected there, they want to see if this person really wants to learn more and, or have that, has that enthusiasm, you know, to you know, explore or learn everything like that. It should not be you just coming to college for a degree. That should not happen. So if you have the right intent, I think you'll get through it. So they ask different questions about apparel, but they might not actually test your technical skill a lot, because anyway they know you're coming to learn that. So that is not the question. They might ask you about awareness, you know, ki, you know what is happening in the industry, like very random questions which you can't prepare for. It's very natural, which comes in the moment, so it's not very structural in any way. So, and then they will actually ask you, I think everybody is asking, why should we take you? Why do you want to come there? And things like that. So they're very clear on that.
I think this is one thing that concrete. I've been speaking to many people from different institutions who've, you know, graduated from NID also. Only like this thing, honest. Being honest is something that a lot of people don't, a lot of students don't get it, unfortunately. But also, the, like you just mentioned, they might not test the complete technical aspect of that domain also, because you're going to learn. So the general knowledge about what is that domain, what is that field all about, and what is happening in the industry, I think that plays a major role. You know, how informed you are, I think it also shows how passionate you are about, or yes, interested you are about that field.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'll tell you a fun fact over here. It's not a fun fact, it's a fact, but it's a fun fact for me. So in our batch in NID, my batch of apparel design, we were 14 of us, and 10 of them had BTech in their bachelors. They were engineers. Nine were engineers and one was from commerce background. And only three of us were from design background, from LIPS. So they were engineers. They had zero knowledge about, you know, like zero professional knowledge about designing or, you know, apparel. So why I'm mentioning this again is ki you don't need to know the subject because they are there to teach you that. But like you mentioned, they want to see that you're passionate about it. You have that zeal to understand things. You want to learn. You want that knowledge. You know, you're craving for it. If you have all these things, they'll take you.
True. Very well put. That's very interesting. Yeah. I mean, nine of them being from BTech in apparel. That is a little surprising for me. But yeah.
And also, I'll tell you, they actually performed, like they were very good students. When over the period of our course, another 2.5 years in classrooms, they were very interested in whatever was happening in class. Because we were like little also, this has happened. But they were like, you know, on top of it always. Because they were there because they wanted it. So that is what happens in the interview. One thing that I have personally felt in NID is ki you can never go and see a person and say, you know, ye kaise aa gaya yahan pe, you know. Every person is like handpicked and every person has that passion for design. And that is what they see in the interview. If you have that, you'll get through.
Yes, that's true. That's absolutely true.